Dear precious souls of God, we hope you'll be blessed as you listen to this message. May God be with you.
Turn your Bibles with me to the book of Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5 from verse 17. Are you there? The Bible says, "And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus." Verse 20. "And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether is easier to say, Thy sins are forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. He said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise and take up thy couch and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them and took up that whereon he lay and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the reading of the word of God. We thank God for his word. Let me pray one more time. Father, we thank you for your word. I take charge of this environment, and I ask that your will be done in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Glory be to God. Now, last week, I shared with you that the power that is in forgiveness is the power to restore. Hallelujah. Do you remember what I taught you? This week, I want to share about forgiving God. Amen. We have to learn to forgive God. Tell your neighbor, say, you must forgive God. I tell your other neighbor, say, you must forgive God. What a shock. Now, come with me to the book of Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. And I'll be reading verse 18. 1:8. Mark chapter 10 and verse 18. Mark chapter 10 and verse 18. Are you there? Amen. The Bible says, "And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God." Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus said, there is no one good person on the earth. There's none. The only person who is good is God. Hello?
Amen.
Are you here?
Amen.
Ask your neighbor, are you here? I don't feel you. Tell your neighbor, I don't feel your presence in the church. Are you awake?
Amen.
Hey. Jesus said, there is only one individual in the whole universe that is good. And who's that person? I can't hear you.
God.
Ah, is it not you?
No.
Who is it?
God.
Jesus himself said, why are you calling me good? He said, the only person who is good is God. Now, with that understanding, it becomes very strange when I come with a title that says, you must forgive God. The word good means morally excellent. What does that mean? It means that there is no evil in him. If God was light, there's no darkness in him. I don't know if you understand. If God, I almost used white and black. I think let me keep that away. Let me stay away from that. But do you understand what I'm saying? There's no wickedness in him. There is nothing bad. There is only good. God doesn't think a bad thought. It doesn't exist in his emotions. He never, you know, one of the good also means benevolence. Benevolence means that all his intentions are good. There are many people who say, I love you. But their intentions are all bad. But they're saying things that sound nice. But their intentions are bad. Now, when Jesus says that God is good, it means that he has no bad intention. And there is no evil, not even a trace or a sign of evil or wickedness in him. It means that everything he does is good. Everything he says is good.
Amen.
Anything he thinks is good.
Amen.
I listen to me.
Amen.
Now why must you forgive such a person? Oh Jesus. I want us to read Genesis 1:31 quickly. Genesis 1:31. Genesis chapter 1, verse 31. Genesis is after Revelations. Genesis 1:31. I'm joking. Genesis chapter 1, verse 31. The Bible says, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Remember, good is no evil, no wickedness. It was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So everything that he does is good. He himself is good. All his thoughts, all his intentions, all his acts, his behavior, his emotions, everything about him is good. Hallelujah. So when I'm going to talk about forgiving him, I want you to have this at the back of your mind, that God is good. Do you understand?
Yes.
Tell your neighbor, say, God is good.
Yes.
But in Mark chapter 15, verse 34, Jesus cried. And he said, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken? Although he is good, we all have seasons of life where we feel he has betrayed us. We all have seasons of life. Maybe we may not say Eloi, Eloi. Maybe we say Nkulunkulu, Nkulunkulu, Mudimu, Tiko. What else? Jehovah, Shikwembu. I don't know what they say in Chinese, but all of us have a season where we go through things where we feel that he has left us. And depending on what we go through during that season, some people will never find it in their hearts to continue walking with God after going through what they've been through. Some people, because of what they go through, they end any relations with God. And even though I'm explaining to you that he is good, remember that when he created the heavens and the earth, the Bible says he divided light and darkness. So there is a devil, there is Satan here on the earth. And many of the troubles that we go through are because of Satan. And even though it is Satan, we can never find it in our hearts to forgive God that certain things have happened to us. Am I talking to somebody? Each and everybody here, if you have not gone through such a season, it means that you are probably still young. But in today's time, the enemy is working so hard that even young people are going through difficulties. Am I talking to somebody?
Amen.
Have you gone through a season where you said, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabatani? Hey! Ask your neighbor, have you gone through such a season? What are they saying? Even me as a pastor, sometimes I say, Eloi, Eloi lama sabatani. God, I feel like you have betrayed me here. You know? In the Bible, there are many, many people who have gone through such seasons. One of which is Joseph. And Joseph's life is a life that we are going to look at in depth today. Another person is Job, or Job. He also went through a season that, you know, most people would have never survived. Job was one of the richest people in the East. So whatever the East meant, he was the richest. Job had businesses, Job had honor, and he was the type of businessman that was even giving to the poor, supporting people who, you know, couldn't support themselves. He was a good man. Job had a family of 10 children. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. In one day. Do you know how difficult it is to start a business? That's to start. In one day, all his businesses, zero. In one day. Whether he had farms, whether he had factories, whatever he had, in one day, gone. Many people wouldn't survive. He lost all in one day. While he was still dizzy about those news, somebody walked in and said, all your children. And Job said, no, man, I've got 10. What do you mean? Job said, all are dead. All are dead. All are dead. If that's not a time to say, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabatani, I don't know which other time you can say. Actually, when you look at Job's life, some of our troubles are small. Losing just one child is difficult. Now, losing 10 on the same day is a nightmare that nobody wishes to have. Are you listening to me? Jesus also had this season. In fact, I quoted him where he felt that God had left him. God had forsaken him. Jeremiah, he actually said that God had lied to him. The problems he was facing, he felt that God had lied to him, and he even felt that God had made him a joke amongst other people. If you have not felt these things, it means that you are not a real Christian. He felt that now, when people say Jeremiah, they laugh. Man, Jeremiah. That's how he felt. That's how people see him. So, many people that we look up to today, whom we read about, whose lives are documented in the Bible, they all went through seasons where they felt that God had left them. And for many people, they can never leave that season. They can never, ever, ever, ever get out of those things and find it in their heart to say, look, Lord, no matter what I'm going through, I still love you. Some people, when they go through those things, they say there's no God. Some people, when they go through those things, they say, Mamlamb, where's Mamlamb? I want my own snake now. They give up. They lose faith. Are you listening to me?
Amen.
But I'm here to tell you today that you have to learn to forgive him. Because number one, he's not the one who has inflicted the pain on you. There is a devil, there is a Satan who doesn't like you. Just because you are you. Not that you have done anything. But just because you are you, Satan has vowed, Stru Bob, I don't know what they do. He has vowed that as for you, I will trouble your life. So I'm here to encourage you to find it in your heart to forgive God. There are also people who are holding grudges against God without them knowing. Where there are certain areas in their lives where they cannot believe that God allowed me to go through this. I mean, some people have gone through difficult things like rape. Some people have gone through difficult things like losing a loved one. You know? And they can, even though they are still Christians, but at the back of their heart, the back of their mind, they still have a grudge against God that you allowed my child to die. You allowed my husband to die. You allowed my wife to die. You allowed me to be raped. You allowed me to go through this. You allowed me to lose my job. You allowed me. There's some grudges that today we must let go. I thought you would say aloud, amen.
Amen.
Tell a neighbor, let go of the grudge. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Do you know what? Do you understand what I'm talking about? Is it understandable? We have to learn to forgive him. We really have to learn to forgive him. Now, when I was preparing this message, I was thinking deeply, trying to remember anybody who went through something and did not forgive God. And I was telling the Lord, I'm looking for a clear scripture that I can use in my preaching. And I couldn't find one. And I realized that in life, if you do not learn to fall and get back up again, nobody will remember you. If you don't learn to fall and pick yourself up, you fall and pick yourself up, you fall and pick yourself up, nobody will know that you existed. It's only your immediate family. The people we read about here are people who went through some of the most severe difficulties, but they rose up again from the midst of their difficulties and continued living. So when I'm telling you to forgive God, I'm advising you that no matter what pain you have faced in life, you must learn to rise up again. You must learn to pick yourself up again. And continue to walk with that God that you feel has hurt you. Am I talking to somebody?
Amen.
So remember what I said to you. Nobody will remember someone who falls and never rises again. People who fall and never rise again never have any impact on this life. They never do anything that is worth remembering. Are you listening to me, somebody?
Amen.
Hey! It's battle of the choirs. Now, let's look at Joseph. When you read the book of Genesis chapter 37, I'm just gonna paraphrase you read when you get home. The Bible begins to tell us about a young man called Joseph. This gentleman called Joseph, he must have been about 15 years old, 17 years old. The Bible says that his father loved him. And the Bible says that he had brothers. And because his father loved him, his brothers hated him. I listen to me. What did Joseph do? Nothing. But because his father loved him, his brothers hated him. Then the Bible says that Joseph had two dreams. And after he shared his dreams, the Bible says that his brothers hated him the more. The hatred became worse. The hatred grew. Hallelujah. The hatred became so much that one day Joseph was on his way to his brothers. When they saw him afar off, they planned and conspired to kill him. His own flesh and blood. They conspired to kill him. And God, by God's grace, God raised one of the brothers and said, no, let's not kill him. So when he came, they put him in a hole. And as they were planning to kill him, some slave trader passed by and took him and sold him as a slave. Look at this young man. He has become a slave. Hallelujah. Hey, where is God? God, why don't you defend me? Now he is a slave. Now he is captured. Now he's no longer Joseph Mbanja or Joseph Mang. Now he's just a slave. He has no identity anymore. When he got there, they sold him to a gentleman called Potiphar. And things started going well because he was smart. He was taking care of the household of Potiphar. And because he was smart, everything started going well. Then Potiphar's wife looked at Joseph and started licking her lips. And then the woman wanted to sleep with him. But Joseph, and the Bible says he ran away. And as he was running, he forgot his jacket. And the woman was embarrassed that this guy said no to me. So he took his jacket and said, this guy has raped me. Look, he even left his jacket. So Potiphar said, look, here's the evidence. Joseph, you did it. And then Joseph was arrested and went to prison. Am I talking to somebody? God, where are you? Where are you? Somebody else would have said there's no God by now. He was in prison, and then while he was there, two gentlemen had dreams. And Joseph is a nice guy, you know. It's amazing. After all the troubles he's gone through, the Bible says as he was walking in prison, he noticed two guys that they were sad. And he went to them and said, ah, what's wrong? And they said to him, we dreamt dreams, and we have nobody to interpret dreams. And then he said to them, ah, but is it not God who interprets dreams? Tell me the dream and God will give you the interpretation. Now look, in prison, after all these trials that he has experienced, he still has a relationship with God. He still has a connection with God. Everything he's going through, he learns to let go of it and keep trusting God. And they told him the dreams and he interpreted them. Because these people were in prison because the king of the area had thrown them in prison. And he said to them, to one of them, he said, in 3 days you are going to die. And he said to the other one, in 3 days you are going to go work for the king again. And he said to that one, when you are by the king, remember me. And it happened exactly like it happened. In 3 days, like he said, in 3 days the one guy died. In 3 days, the other guy was brought back to his position. But when he got there, there, he forgot about Joseph. And Joseph stayed in prison for 2 more years. 2 more. Many people by now, they would have said, I give up. This thing, there's no God actually. 2 years later, the king had a dream. And this dream bothered him. The next night he went to sleep, he dreamt a dream again. And the king was upset. And then this guy who came out of the prison, he said, King, what's wrong? And the king said, I dreamt 2 dreams, but they are troubling me. Then the guy remembered, come here, there's this guy. After 2 years. And he said, when I was in prison, there's a guy who interpreted our dreams, and everything he said happened exactly. And then the king brought Joseph out of jail. To cut the long story short, Joseph interpreted the king's dreams. Even after 2 years, Joseph was still in relationship with God, still connected to God. And they brought him out of prison. And to cut the long story short, he became number 2 in the country. He became the prime minister. Put your hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah. So for you to be able to understand God, to forgive God, there are certain things that I want you to understand why they happen. The things that you are experiencing in life, they are not just happening to you just because you are hated or life is unfair to you, but they are happening for a reason. Are you listening to me? And maybe when you understand why these things are happening to me, you learn to understand and learn to forgive God and understand that, actually, this is not God punishing me or God hating me or God turning against me. But these things are happening because of 1, 2, 3, 4. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, why does God allow us to go through these things that make us cry, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani? Number one, it is for something that is called posterity. Posterity. Someone say posterity. Not prosperity, posterity. It's a word. Now, posterity means the generations to come. Are you listening to me? Certain things happen to us, not because of you, but because of your children, and your children's children, and your children's children's children. Certain things happen to you because the enemy is not really targeting you, but is targeting your seed. It's targeting your children, and it's targeting your children's children's children. So sometimes you have to fight. Not because you are fighting for yourself, but you are fighting for the people following you. Are you listening to me? Turn your Bibles to Genesis 45, quickly. Genesis 45 and verse 5. Genesis 45 and verse 5. Are you there? The Bible says, Now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. Hallelujah. So here Joseph is talking to his brothers some 15 years later, after going through all his troubles. He sees his brothers face to face. Nompumela, what would you do when you meet the people who sold you into slavery, who wanted to kill you, who caused all the troubles in your life, who are the reason why you've ended up in jail, you spend time in jail, you have a criminal record now. What will you do when you meet such people? Will you not curse them? Will you not desire that the earth will open and swallow them? Will you not desire that God will release fire like he did in the days of Elijah, and the fire will swallow them? But when Joseph came face to face with his brothers, he said, "It is not you that did what you did. God allowed it so that I can preserve lives." Because there had been a famine, a drought for 2 years, and there was going to be, that drought was going to continue for another 5 years. And because of Joseph and the wisdom, the divine wisdom that God gave him, lives were going to be saved. And because of Joseph, Jacob and his children, by this time Jacob had a family of 75 people. 75 people, they were his children and his grandchildren, he was moving with them. And God allowed Joseph to go through all these things because he wanted him to be in Egypt. Because only in Egypt was the superpower of the time. And God gave him that position in Egypt so that he can protect his family of 75. So he said, "It's not you. I went through everything I went through because God wants me to save lives." So you don't know, the fights that you are fighting in life is not actually your fight. It's your children's fight. It's your children's children's fight. One day, a certain man of God was divorcing. Is divorce nice? Do you want to divorce? Not at all. So you can imagine what this man of God was going through. And he was in the process of divorcing his wife. A very, very prominent man of God. And as he was praying, the Lord said to him, "If you divorce your wife," you know, divorce is not good. The Bible says, "What God has brought together, no man should put asunder," isn't it? So God said to him, "If you divorce your wife, I will forgive you. But if you don't fight this battle, you must know that your children will go through what you are going through today." And when this man of God started studying his background and the family he comes from, his father had 46 children. You didn't hear me. I said 46 children. His father had 46 children. 6 of them were from his mother, and his father had other wives. And all 46 of them had divorced once, twice, some of them 3 times. All 46. Some of us divorced, remarried, divorced, remarried. And God said, "This thing, if you don't fight it, your children will fight it." And so the man of God understood that, hey, this thing is not really about me and my wife, but it is about the people coming after me. So he decided to remarry his wife and decided to work it out with his wife to defeat this enemy that keeps bringing divorce in the family. So some things are happening not because of you for really, but the devil is after your seed. The devil has seen the star in your children and is after them. So you must learn to keep walking with God, because the minute you leave God, you are powerless to fight the devil. It's a free flow. Are you listening to me? Number 2, God allows you to go through things to create in us the nature and the character of Christ. The nature and the character of Christ. Hallelujah. It is said, you never know that you are a thief until you have a chance to steal. I listen to what I'm saying. You will never know that you are a thief until you have a chance to steal. Some of you, you are not a thief because you have not had the chance. But if you would see your neighbor's 100 rand, you will go and be smiling, and you'll be busy at the back taking the 100 rand. It's just that you haven't had the chance. Hallelujah. One day, a certain gentleman hosted a dinner. Now, this dinner was a formal event. Everyone was suited up. I listened to me. And was a long table, and dignitaries were there. And he put chicken in the middle of the table. And so this chicken, everybody got one piece. And there was one piece left on the table. And suddenly the lights went off. Then all of a sudden there was, wah! Then the lights came back on. Do you know what had happened? Everybody was going for their chicken. But one of them, instead of using their hands, they were using a fork. And it pierced one person. You see, you never know until you have the opportunity. Many people, if they are given the opportunity to steal, you will show your true colors. I listen to what I'm saying. So for you to really be proven whether you are a real Christian, whether you really believe in Christ, whether you are a real child of God, whether you really believe in the Bible, you have to go through things that will prove true or not true. How will we know unless you are tested? So sometimes God will allow you to go through things that really will test your faith to prove that you really love Him, to prove that Christ lives in you, to prove that you're a child of God. And that's why sometimes He allows the troubles. Job is one person, in my understanding and logic, who could be justified to say, you know what, there's no God. But Job rather said, though He slays me, yet will I trust in Him. So sometimes God will allow your world to be shaken. Sometimes God will allow your life to be scrambled. You have planned that in 2 years' time I'm going to do this. And then in 5 years' time I will have this. And then in 10 years' time, in 10 years' time, I'll be there with my husband and with my 3 children. When you open your eyes, it's suddenly 10 years' time and you haven't even done the first one. Then at that time, it's when now you have to decide where your faith is tested. Do I still believe? Do I still trust? Look at Joseph. When he met his enemy face to face, he said, it's not your fault. Can you see that he is showing Christ, the nature of Christ? So God will allow you to be tested. That one is sure. He will allow you to be proved. It's sure. One man of God said, if you have something and that thing that you have has not gone through testing, it's not yours yet. Until you go through the storms and then you come out of the storms and that thing is still yours, you are still married, the children are still yours, the job is still yours, the house is still yours, then it's yours. But if you haven't been proved yet, don't celebrate too early. Hey! So he's busy working the nature and character of Christ in you. And it's very, very important. Hallelujah. Number three, God wants to give you immortality. Someone say immortality. immortality is in two ways. He wants to give you salvation, eternal life. Do you understand? So Joseph went through everything he went through for the salvation of his family. Jesus went through everything he went through for the salvation of God's family. Do you understand? So that they may have eternal life. Are you listening to me? And many of us, in 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, the Bible says that we know love, that he gave his life for us. So we also must give our lives for the brethren. Are you listening to me? In other words, that we also have that mandate, obligation, to go through whatever we have to go through, that people in our generation can receive Christ and know Christ and be saved from eternal damnation. So God allows you to go through certain things, especially as a Christian, because he wants to give you immortality, eternal life. That is one aspect of immortality. The other aspect is that God wants to give your life immortality. And by that I mean, how many years did Joseph die? How many years ago did Joseph die? Thousands of years ago. How many years did Job die? Thousands of years ago. How many years did Moses die? Thousands of years. Abraham, thousands of years ago. But till today we are talking about them. God has immortalized their lives. He has immortalized their acts. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. That's why I say, someone who does not go through anything and does not survive anything is forgotten. If 40 years after you die, 50 years after you die, 100 years after you die, if Jesus tarries, people have forgotten you, it means that you did not forgive God and allow him to take you through the journey that will immortalize your life. That's why last week I told you that I'm starting to write. Because even when I'm dead, I will still be speaking through what I've written. 10 years from now, that thing will still be there. 20 years, 50 years, 100 years, it'll still be there. When was the Bible written? We're still learning from it. So God wants to give you immortality. It's very important. And the only way that he can immortalize your life is if you go through something that many people would not survive. But you go through it, you come out of it, and you come out of it strong. And you come out of it with a good character. You come out of it with a good nature. You come out of it in faith, trusting God. Then you'll be remembered forever. Amen. The one who says there is no God will forget him. Who is he? We've even forgotten him. So if you survive the trials and the storms of life, your life will become a teaching for generations to come. People will be saying, remember him. Remember her. Some years ago, you know, around the time that Mandela died, around that date, they normally put documentaries about his life. How long ago has Mandela died? I forgot now. 7 years ago, plus minus. They are still showing documentaries about him on TV. And one day I was sitting and watching one documentary about Mandela. And I said, this guy, 27 years in prison. And after the 27 years, when he came out, he had an interview with a white man. A white man was interviewing him. And I was listening to the English. I said, was this guy in university or in prison? Can you please balance me? The English is amazing for a person who was in prison for 27 years. It means that While he was in prison, he still had hope for tomorrow. He still had faith about the future. And he was building himself and saying, when I come out here, I'm going to rule. How many people are like that? That's why we don't know them. That's why we forget them. But those who go through things, and after severe trials, they come out and they come out strong. Those are the people we remember. And those are the people whose lives gives us hope, gives us faith, gives us strength. And God wants your life to be that type of life, that when people look at you, they will have hope. When people look at you, they will have strength. When people look at you, they say, no, we can go on. We can keep pressing. It will be okay. God is with us. That's what I mean by he wants to give you immortality. But it's up to you whether you accept it or not. When you go through the trials, you say, eh, not me. You run away. Or you say that, I will go through it, Lord. David said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Do you think there's sweets and chocolates in the valley of the shadow of death? It wouldn't be called the valley of the shadow of death. It was heavy times when his child was chasing him and wanted to kill him. His own child, his own seed. He said, though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. That's why, you see, I'm quoting David's words, because he went through the valley. If he didn't go through it, he wouldn't have said those words. And I wouldn't know that I wouldn't know who's David. I'm saying to you, God wants to immortalize your life. God wants to make you a hero. I don't know about you, but I want to be an eternal hero. Not one of this, I sing, Khodoba, then I'm finished. I want to be an eternal star, that my star will keep shining forever. But if I want that, I must be willing to go through the valley of the shadow of death. Put your hands together for Jesus. Am I talking to somebody? Now I close with this. Why do some people struggle to forgive God? Number one, it is because they cannot allow themselves to trust God. They cannot allow themselves to trust God. Turn with me quickly to Isaiah 55, verse 8. Isaiah 55, verse 8. Are you there? Isaiah 55, verse 8. Hallelujah. Amen. Isaiah 55, verse 8. Are we all there? For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Hallelujah. Now, if you are going to walk with God, you have to understand the reality of the scripture. Because some things you will never understand using your natural logic. That why would God allow me to go through such things? Imagine if Joseph occupied himself with why would God allow me to go through this thing? He might have given up. But I'm sure in the depths of his spirit, he heard the whisperings of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit assured him that God has a greater plan. God has a bigger plan. He didn't understand it. He didn't know. For sure, only when he saw his brothers that he realized that, oh, me being a slave, me going into prison, me suffering is because God wants to save lives. But as he was going through it, he didn't know. He didn't understand. The only thing that can keep you during those times is if you understand that God's thoughts are higher than yours. His mind, his acts are higher than your logic can perceive. So you just have to keep relying on him. Even though he leads you through the valley of the shadow of death, you just follow. Even though you feel pain, you just follow. Even though it's tough, you just follow. Paul was beaten. Paul was stoned. Paul, one time, the ship that he was in got wrecked and he was in the ocean for days. Do you know how cold the ocean is? Have you watched a movie called Titanic? You see that guy, he died, isn't it, in the water. The ocean is cold. It's cold. Paul was there. Paul was being beaten by snakes. Paul was hated by everyone. But all you do is you keep following in faith, in trust, in hope that God has a bigger vision than I can understand. And most of the time, he will never tell you the vision in the beginning. Most of the time, you'll understand it at the end. You say, oh, this is why I had to go through this. This is why I had to suffer this. This is why I had to experience this. So, if you haven't reached the end, while you are still going through it, you just have to believe that he's got a bigger plan. But many people struggle because they can't allow themselves to trust him that he's got a bigger plan. That I'm still in his will. That I'm still featuring in his plans. The sign of trouble is to them the sign that God has left me. Am I talking to somebody?
Amen.
So I want to help you. Because if you have not gone through something today, tomorrow is around the corner. When you are going through it, understand. Tell yourself there's a bigger plan here. There's something bigger than me. I must just keep trusting him. I must just keep following him. I must just keep walking with him. It's bigger than me. That's when you will do exploits. But if you give up, if you find the easy thing to do, then you will never be immortalized. Your life will be a shadow. People will say, I think there was someone called... happiness, I can't remember. So some, there's a name like that, I think. But if you learn to go through it and keep trusting and holding on to him and keep forgiving him as you go through the trials, after some time, nobody will forget your name. Hallelujah. Am I talking to somebody? Come to Matthew 26 quickly. I'm about to close. Matthew 26, verse 38. Matthew 26, from verse 38. Matthew 26 from verse 38. Are you there? The Bible says, "Then said he unto them," this is Jesus speaking, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me." Verse 39. "And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will." Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the word of God. I think that's a powerful scripture. As you can see here, Jesus was going through the most difficult time in his whole life. The Bible says that his soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. The emotional distress he was undergoing, he even felt that death is better than what I'm experiencing now. But in all that he was feeling, he said, "Not my will, but thy will be done." In other words, no matter what happens, I'll continue to trust you. I will hold on to you. I believe in you. No matter what I go through, no matter what I experience, no matter what pain I face, I trust you, Lord. Hallelujah. If you learn to do that, I tell you, your life will be a shining star. Hallelujah. It is easy to do easy things. Everyone can do easy things, isn't it? But to do difficult things, very few are willing to do such things. And we remember those who have done impossible things. Those ones stay in our memories. Those are the people who become our heroes. Those are the people we learn from. So all you need to do is say, "Lord, even if they cut off my legs, I will trust you." Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Some of you are not saying amen. So my legs. Sis. Hallelujah. And the last point for today, why people are struggling to forgive God is because they are impatient. They are impatient. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you the truth. I don't want to lie to you. All right? When you walk with God, you have to learn to be patient. It's a reality. If you don't learn to be patient, you will not go far with God. God has a program. God doesn't do things haphazardly. He does things according to his program. And programs usually have timelines, isn't it? At this time, this will happen. At this time, this will happen. That's how God operates. I don't care who you are, how prayerful you are, what type of prayer warrior you are, the type of fastings you do. God moves according to his program. For your love, for your life, for nations, for the world, everything, there's a program. So, for other people in God's program, perhaps they are going to have a car at the age of 15 or 18 when they turn in the age where they can drive. Do you understand? In God's program, another one will have a first car at the age of 40. It's God's program. Marok Salayo, you will have that car. Marok Salayo. But many people are not patient enough to keep trusting God to when he fulfills his plans in their lives. You see that by the age of 35, you give up everything. You say, "No, no, no. If I keep following God, I'm going to become a zero." They stop being patient. They stop being patient. If you don't learn to be patient, that's what happened to Abraham's wife, Sarah. God said to Abraham, you will have a child. And God prophesied. This is God prophesying, not a prophet. It's God himself. He said to Abraham, look in the sky. And said, what do you see? He said, I see stars. He said, can you count them? He said, no, I can't count them. He said, that's how many children you will have. This is God talking. God said to him, look at the sand. He said, can you count the grains of sand? He said, no. He said, that's how many children you will have. God talking to Abraham. Then Sarah said, this thing is taking too long. Then he said, he called one of the people who are working in the house. Come. He said, go and sleep with this one. We'll have children through this one. She was not patient. She looked at things called biological clock. Say, biological clock is ticking. Then she started making her own plans. Tell her never say, be patient. Yeah, be patient. When you walk with God, you have to learn patience. You know what Jesus said to his disciples? Peter said to him, Lord, we have left everything to follow you. What will we get? And Jesus said to him that, you guys who have left everything to follow me, God will give you houses, everything now. But also, eternally, he will bless you with eternal rewards. Do you understand? Jesus, when he said that, these people still suffered, young. And after that, even Jesus himself, who is promising, he also dies. Then he resurrects. Then maybe after his resurrection, you think, now. Then he says, okay, bye. I will see you. You continue. Bye. But the Bible says there came a time where people came to them and said, here's my house, take it. Not that they had to go work. People just take, here's my house. People were selling houses. Do you understand what I'm saying? And they'll come and say, here's the money for my house. If you are patient with God, many people struggle with him because they are not patient. Please be patient. Please be patient. To be patient means that you must keep having faith while you are waiting for the promise to take place. So be patient. I don't know when the turnaround is coming. Is it 5 years from now? Is it 10 years from now? Don't give up on the 9th year. Some even give up on the first month and the promise is a 10-year thing. In month one, you are already tired. Be patient. Learn to be patient. Learn to keep following him as you go through all sorts of things. People struggle with God because they are not patient. But if you are a Christian, one of the things you have to learn is patience. It's important. Most mistakes happen when you stop being patient. You start looking for shortcuts. That God is taking too long. Is there another way to get what I want? That's why people will go to church where they are doing all sorts of funny things and you ask yourself, is this a Christian that will be doing these things? A Christian. It's because you have stopped being patient. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Am I talking to somebody?
Amen.
Let's read the last scripture in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3. Habakkuk chapter 2. And verse 3. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3. Are you there? The Bible says, For the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end, it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Hallelujah. Let me quickly read it in another version. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3. In the Good News Bible, it says, put it in writing, because it is not yet time for it to come true. Do you see the program? It's not yet time for it to come true. But the time is coming quickly, and what I show you will come true. It may seem slow in coming, but wait for it. It will certainly take place, and it will not be delayed. This is God's word. So everything he has promised you, everything he has spoken concerning you, it will come true. Wait for it. It looks like it's taking long, but it's coming quickly. It's coming. Hallelujah. So learn to be patient. Learn to forgive God. Learning to forgive God means learning to trust him. Learning to forgive God means learning to be patient. Learning to forgive God is understanding why you are going through the things that you are going through. Hallelujah. Then as you go through all these things in life, you will be able to rise or to fly above the storms of life. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for Jesus. Let us rise to our feet.
Thank you for listening to the powerful word of God. We hope that you are blessed. For inquiries, contact 082-682-6048 or send us an email at info@healingfireministries.com or go to our website www.healingfireministries.com. May God be with you.